Welcome to 2% with Michael Easter. Today is Monday, May 27th, a holiday, Memorial Day. And our post today is about why you should take a Memorial Day challenge. So quick post summary before we dive into this full episode. So hundreds of thousands of people are going to do the Memorial Day Murph Challenge today. It is a very tough workout with a fascinating history. Of course, you can alter the workout as you would like. So we're going to cover sort of big picture, the value of doing an annual challenge for some big important reason, the fascinating and surprising history behind the Murph Challenge, how you can create your own Murph Challenge this Memorial Day weekend, whether it be physical, whether it be volunteer, no matter what it is. And the result is that we just want you to get out of your comfort zone. We want you to improve as a human, and we want you to help others along the way. Before we dive in, quick housekeeping. God bless America. Be a 2%er. You can become a member of 2% at the website. You can check it out in the post, twopct.com. That'll get you full access to all of our material. So Mondays are always free, as usual. And then Wednesday and Friday is for members. Full access to that is for members. Of course, if you're a non-member, if you're just an unpaid subscriber, you'll still get a decently good preview. I want you to get something out of that. But full access is for members only, so you can check it out. Sign up at twopct.com. Okay, now let's dive into the episode today. So hundreds of thousands of people are going to follow the Memorial Day Murph workout tradition today. And it honors Michael Murphy, who was a Navy SEAL who was killed in Afghanistan in 2005 and was later awarded the Medal of Honor. Now the workout, it asks you to wear a 20-pound weighted vest and do the following. Run 1 mile, do 100 pull-ups, do 200 push-ups, do 300 squats, then run one more mile. So it is hard. That is the standard version, of course. And the standard version is hard because it's a workout a Navy SEAL created to prepare for war. Now, the good news is that if that sounds hard to you, you do not have to do the challenge as written, but you can, and you should, find your own Murph this Memorial Day. Some version of this idea of doing something hard in the name of sacrifice. For example, you could alter the workout to your ability level. There are people from ages 9 to 90 who have figured out their own Murph workout to do. Or you could find a way to help others. You could volunteer. You could do someone a favor. You could help a neighbor. You could be nice. The idea is that you make your challenge tough. It's about effort. That is what a guy whose name is Dr. Josh Apple told me. He is the guy who actually started the tradition of the Memorial Day Murph workout. We're going to get into that. The point is to have a long, effortful moment where you consider sacrifice this Memorial Day. Now, a pessimist would call this tradition of doing the Murph workout every Memorial Day kind of silly. They would ask a question like, is doing some hard workout or task really teaching us anything about the ultimate sacrifice our soldiers make for our freedom? That would be the pessimist question. But a few years ago, Men's Health Magazine, they asked me to investigate that question and the history of the workout. So my task was basically to figure out where the workout came from in the first place, and why it became so popular. How did it become this big cultural force with hundreds of thousands of people doing it every Memorial Day? And this was for a story in the feature section of Men's Health. It appeared in a May 2020, 2021 issue or something like that. And I'll tell you that I went into this story thinking like, okay, this is a workout that a soldier did, and now we all do it to honor sacrifice, and that's that. But what I found was actually a lot more interesting, and I found it actually quite inspiring, definitely inspiring. So I ended up speaking to soldiers, I spoke to Gold Star families, I spoke to generals, and I spoke to everyday people who just want to help others. And along the way, it showed me the power of traditions like this, the idea that we are going to get a bunch of people together and we're all going to do something challenging in the name of something that's greater than ourselves. The point is that these things can move people, they can change people, and they can build awareness that improves the world. Now, I ran this same post on 2% last Memorial Day. I have updated it since, and I plan to run some variation of it every Memorial Day. And what we are doing today is we are publishing three things. First, in the post at twopct.com, I have a video of Dr. Josh Apple. He's the guy who sort of started the tradition. He speaks about his history with Michael P. Murphy, the SEAL who died, and the Memorial Day Murph tradition. There's a video of that talk up. Second, I have published the story that came from my investigation of the Murph tradition. This is the exact story that ran in Men's Health Magazine. We've got that. I'm going to read that for you. And then third, we are going to cover tips that will help anyone find their own Murph and how to do it better. So let's dive in. If you want to see Dr. Apple's talk, obviously just go to the website. But here's the story I wrote. Memorial Day weekend, 2007. Joshua Apple, MD, now Chief of Emergency Medicine for the Southern Arizona Veterans Administration Healthcare System, was a medical resident in Albany, New York. He had an idea. The holiday had become a thing of beers and barbecues and bargains on mattresses and refrigerators, all of which are great, no doubt. But Dr. Apple wanted to do something to remind himself and a few willing others of the day's purpose, a way to contemplate with mind and body those who'd laid down their lives for us. Dr. Apple had recently begun training at CrossFit Albany. And I heard about this hero workout of the day called Murph, he said. Hero workouts of the day, called WADS, are dedicated to the memory of a military member or first responder who was killed in the line of duty. And I was like, I wonder if that's the same Murph, Dr. Apple said. It was one of CrossFit's hardest workouts, a prolonged thresher that blended endurance and calisthenics with a whole lot of time in your head, beating back millions of years of human wiring telling you to slow down or tap out. It went like this. You'd run 1 mile, do 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, and 300 squats, then run one more mile, all as fast as possible while wearing a weighted vest or body armor. Now, Dr. Apple was not a typical medical resident. He'd been in the military since 1994 as an Air Force pararescueman, which is a combat search and rescue specialist trained to retrieve wounded service members. He enrolled in med school in 2001. His rescue unit was activated and deployed to Turkey after 9/11, but his teammates told him he should stay in school, knowing how hard he'd worked to get in. I graduated from medical school on May 11th, 2005, he said, and that's when things got hot. He was on a plane to Afghanistan 2 days later. Then, on June 28th, we got the call that the Chinook helicopter had been shot down and a Navy SEAL team was missing. Operation Red Wings went as tragically as a mission can. Early on the morning of the 28th, the military dropped four SEALs, Lieutenant Michael Murphy and Petty Officers Danny Dietz, Matthew Axelson, and Marcus Luttrell, about 10,000 feet high in the Hindu Kush Mountains. The team was to provide reconnaissance for an impending action against guerrilla leader Ahmad Shah. The plan twisted southward when some goat herders caught the team's position. Within hours, the SEALs were taking fire on three sides by a force of more than 50 anti-coalition militiamen. The SEALs, all wounded, were pinned against cliffs, which blocked the signal they needed to make a distress call. Understanding his team's deathly predicament, Murphy, according to the Navy, quote, unhesitatingly and with complete disregard for his own life, moved into the open where he could gain a better position to transmit a call to get help for his men. This deliberate and heroic act deprived him of cover and made him a target for the enemy. He was shot in the back, causing him to drop the transmitter. Murphy picked it back up, completed the call, and continued firing at the enemy, who was closing in. End quote. Murphy, Dietz, and Axelson died on that mountainside, as did the 16 Special Forces service members whose helicopter was shot down while racing in to extract the four SEALs. Luttrell escaped. Locals discovered him and carried him to a nearby village where they kept him for 3 days. Luttrell's story is told in the book and movie, Lone Survivor. I was the pararescue team leader that rescued Marcus Luttrell and recovered Michael Murphy and Danny Dietz, Dr. Apple told me. He kept the body armor he wore when he recovered Murphy's body. 2 years later, after he'd started with CrossFit and realized that the Murph workout on the board was, in fact, the same Murph, he went to the owner of Albany CrossFit and was like, hey, we should get everyone together and do a hero workout on Memorial Day. Dr. Apple suggested Murph. We had 13, maybe 15 people. I thought it would be cool if everyone did Murph, so everyone has the same goal and is working towards the same thing. Dr. Apple wore his body armor. It was very unifying and brought all kinds of people together, Dr. Apple said. It wasn't a race. It was just going out and suffering together for Memorial Day and thinking about the people that have sacrificed everything. Just imagine how the people storming the beaches of Normandy or hiking the jungles of Vietnam or liberating Iraq felt like. It sounds kind of corny, but it drives and motivates you. And then Dr. Apple wondered, could it be bigger? I thought this should be a national thing, he told me. Next section about Michael P. Murphy. And I am saying that so you know, because in the written piece, there are visual cues. When Michael was 2 years old, Dan Murphy, Michael's father and a Vietnam vet, told me, he saw our neighbor's pool. He ran up to it, didn't even look, and just jumped in. So I run and toss my wallet and keys to jump in and save him. And Michael just swam to the other side and popped up with this big smile on his face. Then he recounts other stories about Michael, like how, at 8 years old, he hit a game-winning home run and arrived at home plate to declare to his celebrating team, if you guys hadn't gotten on base to give me a chance to bat, I would have never been able to bat and hit a home run. We won the game as a team. Michael earned the nickname The Protector in junior high after he threw down on a group of bullies who were picking on a disabled student. In high school, he defended a homeless can collector who was being harassed. At Penn State, Michael double majored in psychology and political science, played hockey, and did his civic duty to help ensure that the university held its place as one of the nation's elite party schools. One spring break, Michael's car broke down on the way to Panama City, Florida. He called his dad, who offered to come pick him and his friends up. But Michael and his boys had dumped the car and were already riding high on a southbound bus. After college, Michael planned to join the FBI, so he applied to law school. He was also interested in enlisting, though his father, who understood the reality of war, disapproved. But the Navy would allow Michael to channel his protector spirit, to be brave, and to make a living. So in 2000, after further discussion with his father, he enlisted, earned the SEAL Trident in July 2002, and did three tours. Went to Jordan, Qatar, and Djibouti. His fourth, in early 2005, took him to Afghanistan to support Operation Enduring Freedom. Upon deciding to join the Navy, Dan Murphy told me, Michael began running, doing calisthenics, and climbing a rope tied to a tree in the backyard of his childhood home on the south shore of Long Island. Then he discovered CrossFit, his father said, and he put together his own CrossFit-style workout that fit in with his job as a SEAL. They run, they push, they pull, they lift. Michael did it while wearing body armor, the 16.4-pound military-issued vest, because that's what he wore downrange. That's how body armor, as Michael called the workout of the day that would become Murph, was born. Body armor required very little equipment and could be done almost anywhere. Troops stationed in Jordan, Qatar, Djibouti, or Afghanistan don't have access to exercise gear, but they do have body armor, and perhaps a tree, crossbeam, or doorframe to do pull-ups. The workout allows remotely stationed service members to work the movements and patterns they need to swiftly attack and evade, all in the requisite body armor. No, a fast time is not easy, but neither is war. SEALs would find that a good Murph time also served as an indicator that they'd reached the level of fitness required to fight. Next section, the workout spreads. When news about Operation Red Wings began trickling out, Dan Murphy had to reckon with his son's selfless nature. The Navy told us they believed there was at least one survivor, he said. And I remember turning to Michael's mom, Marine, and saying, we know the way Michael is. If there's going to be one survivor, it's not going to be Michael. After Michael's death, his body armor workout started to spread by word of mouth among the SEAL teams. At outposts in Afghanistan, Iraq, and bases and training centers in Coronado, Virginia Beach, Pearl Harbor, Monterey, and elsewhere. That's when Greg Glassman, the founder of CrossFit, got involved. Darren Anderson contacted me to ask if I'd honor the death of his commanding officer with a wad named after him, Glassman told me. Anderson was one of the hundreds of SEAL team guys who made the pilgrimage to Santa Cruz. Back then, CrossFit only had about 13 boxes, but Glassman would log on to CrossFit.com and post fitness principles and daily workouts. His training method had gained a following among special forces operators and other first responders, partly for its online accessibility, but mostly because it stressed function over form at a time when bodybuilding was the norm in the military. SEALs stationed at the Naval Base in Monterey, California would travel 40 minutes up Highway 1 to train in Santa Cruz, the home of the original CrossFit box. We did body armor 3 to 5 times before it came out on the CrossFit website, said Greg Amundsen, one of the first CrossFit adopters and a former DEA agent. He was part of Glassman's famed 6 a.m. class. That class was where the fire breathers were. We were the guinea pigs. It was common for us to do workouts that Glassman would come up with around the whiteboard And only thereafter would they make their way onto CrossFit.com. The people doing body armor, as it was still known then, wore any weight-carrying apparatus they owned, Amundsen said. You might have people wearing a specific weight vest that weighed 20 pounds, whereas others would wear whatever kit they had. Maybe it was less than 20 pounds, but often it was more than 20 pounds. Someone who was a breacher is going to have more weight than someone who was an entry team member, but it didn't matter. It was unified. You wore your kit. Hero wads had come before, but body armor felt different. The nexus between the SEALs and the box in Santa Cruz was very pronounced, said Amundsen. Many of the SEALs who came to train in there had known Lieutenant Michael Murphy. The grind of the workout also led to more camaraderie and team cohesion, and because it called for partitioning of the reps, strategy. You didn't know what your partner on the left or right was going to do, Amundsen said. All you knew is that you started the run together and you had to end with the run. But in between that, man, it's like who knows what's going to happen. It was an adventure. There was something about body armor that had an inherent spirit to it. On August 17, 2005, Glassman posted the details of the workout to CrossFit.com as the WOD of the day and included a note. Quote, in memory of Navy Lieutenant Michael Murphy, 29, of Patchogue, New York, who was killed in Afghanistan June 28, 2005. This workout was one of Mike's favorites, and he'd named it body armor. From here on, it will be referred to as Murph, in honor of the focus warrior and great American who wanted nothing more in life than to serve this great country and the beautiful people who make it what it is. If you've got a 20-pound weight vest or body armor, wear it. Next section, a wild idea. In October 2007, Michael Murphy was awarded the Medal of Honor, the most prestigious American military decoration, given only to those who stand out for exceptional acts of selfless valor. Dr. Apple had made doing Murph every year a personal Memorial Day tradition. In 2010, he contacted Dan Murphy. I had never talked to Dan before, but I figured if I was going to do something nationally, in his son's name, I should probably get his approval. Dr. Apple wanted to start a fundraiser by building a website and asking CrossFit boxes if their members would be up for joining the challenge. There'd be a small fee, and all the proceeds would benefit military charities and the Lieutenant Michael P. Murphy Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which Dan created in 2007 because one of Michael's favorite sayings was, education will set you free, Dan said. So we talked, said Dr. Apple. And Dan's like, so let me get this straight. You're going to ask people to pay money to go to their own gym and do a workout? Do you think people are really going to do that? And I said, you don't know the CrossFit community. So I'd reach out to affiliates and say, hey, we're doing this thing, and send some links and create a listserv, just sending stuff out word of mouth. In 2011, around 7,800 people signed up and donated. The next year, Dr. Apple called Mike Sowers, a former SEAL who'd founded Forged, a military-inspired apparel brand, and asked if he'd be willing to make t-shirts to incentivize people to participate and donate. Forged ended up shipping all the t-shirts to us because we had all the mailing lists. It was well over 10,000, and this was my wife and I, stuffing t-shirts into envelopes, Dr. Apple says, and we just had twins, and my wife was like, there's no way we can do this next year. Sowers was happy to run point. We jumped on board and started setting everything up, organizing and facilitating the Memorial Day fundraiser, he said. That included launching a new website and thinking about how to attract more participants to raise more funds. Murph was known as a really grueling workout in the SEAL teams and CrossFit community, said Sowers. We discovered that a lot of people were biting off more than they could chew. They would sign up, go do it, and realize how hard it was. Sowers didn't want anyone to fail, so he began calling it the Murph Challenge. If we put the word challenge in there, it's an alert that this isn't a 10 or 15 minute workout, he said. And we started bringing in workout programs and making sure there was a path for everyone to perform the Murph Challenge to the best of their ability. Dr. Apple puts it this way. My saying is, what's your Murph? You don't have to be a Navy SEAL to do this workout. Sure, it helps, but you can scale it, and everyone can do Murph. Can't do pull-ups? Okay, do ring rows. Can't run? Okay, row. Even if you're in a wheelchair at 90 years old, we can create something for you. That something just has to be long and hard. Maybe the longest, hardest thing you do all year, and it has to force you to reflect on those we've lost. Completed at full tilt, however, Murph can ice even elite athletes. Dave Castro, a former Navy SEAL and CrossFit's director of sport, used Murph as a welcome party for competitors at the 2015 CrossFit Games. It was tough, he said. The temperature at the games peaked in the 80s, turning the StubHub Center in Carson, California, into a furnace. The weight vest acts as insulation, making it even harder for your body to cool down. Welcome to being a soldier in the Middle East, by the way. The athletes were all still really fast, said Castro. Carl Goodmanson won with a time of 38 minutes, 36 seconds. But as the headline in the San Diego Union-Tribune announced that day, Murph makes games athletes look mortal. The world's fittest gasping for air only added to the workout's legacy. Sowers, meanwhile, was working his connections to get the Murph Challenge to people outside the CrossFit community. I had helped train Chris Pratt for his role in Zero Dark Thirty, and we'd remained friends, he said. He's done it since 2012. John Krasinski did it along with The Rock in 2018. What an honor it was to draw sweat in honor of Lieutenant Michael Murphy, Dwayne Johnson said on his Instagram. I love that it was designed to help push us, help humble us, and dedicate a little bit of pain and sweat to the man who gave everything he had. This kind of mega wattage celebrity shout out helped Murph go far more mainstream. The rise of Instagram, offering the ability to share the grind, which filled feeds each Memorial Day weekend, pushed the challenge to more and different people. The workout has received more than 500,000 pings via various hashtags, hashtag Murph, hashtag Murph Challenge, hashtag Murph Wad, on the platform. And the pandemic made Murph stronger. On Memorial Day 2020, Spartan racer Hunter McIntyre set an unofficial record, completing Murph in 34 minutes, 13 seconds, and Lee Davis of Rhapsody CrossFit in Charleston, South Carolina, finished 16 rounds of Murph in less than 24 hours. But that's nothing on Graham Desert, who did Murph every day for 365 days, finishing on February 20th, 2021. Ultimately, three things helped transform Murph into a bigger-than-life iconic workout, said Castro. The fact that it's around a SEAL who sacrificed so much, who has such a heroic story, the fact that it is such a monumental workout, and the Memorial Day community aspect of it. That is the end of the story I wrote. So now let's quickly talk about how you can find your own Murph. As I alluded to in the beginning, I don't think you have to do even anything physical. You surely don't have to do the workout as prescribed. It is extremely hard. It's definitely a challenge. But I think the point is to go do something that challenges you, that gives you something that feels like biting off a little more than you want to chew. It could be physical, but it doesn't have to be. So let's talk about a handful of ways you can do that. Number one, scale your Murph. So anyone can do Murph. All you have to do is modify the exercises to something that just feels harder than you're comfortable with. So for example, and I freaking love this story, Apple's 90-year-old father recently did a Murph workout. His dad rode 1 mile on a fan bike, then did wall pushups, then did a ring row squat variation, and finished with another mile on the fan bike. That is awesome. So you can make it easier by cutting all the reps in half or even by 75%. Or just substituting some easier exercises. And I have a list of good substitutes in the post at twopct.com. I have options instead of push-ups, options instead of squats, options instead of pull-ups, et cetera, et cetera. You get the point. I also have options instead of running 1 mile. You could even just walk. Just do something. Number two, second tip to make this thing workable. Do not flash and crash, meaning running or walking or rowing or whatever you do, the first distance way too fast is going to exhaust you for the long slog of exercises ahead. So find a pace that's just slightly faster than you can have a conversation at. Number three, play to your weaknesses. The most people will run into problems on the push-ups or the pull-ups. The key to not doing that is to stay far from failure on every rep. So if you can do, let's say, 5 pull-ups and 15 push-ups, you'd want to do sets of just 1 or 2 pull-ups or 3 to 5 push-ups. If you start burning out every time, you're going to crash. So when you start to burn out, you may even want to transition to easier variations like jumping pull-ups and push-ups with your hands elevated, or you could just chop up your weakest sets even further. For example, if you're partitioning your reps and hitting snags on the pull-ups, you could do 1 pull-up, 5 push-ups, 1 pull-up, 9 squats. You get the point. Just figure out some scheme that allows you to finish. Number four, drop the hammer. On the final mile, I think this is where you go, you know what? I am going to lean into the suffering. I'm going to go for broke. Run, walk, bike, etc., far faster than you're comfortable with. You can end up chopping as many as 2 minutes from your time here if you just go, all right, we're going for broke at this point. Number five, let's say you are just not up for a crazy workout. You're like, you know what? I don't want to do some crazy workout today. Well, that's very simple. You can still find a MRF that is non-physical. You could, for example, I'm going to give you three examples here. You could help a friend or family member. So this could be as simple as dealing with an outstanding project around the house that would have fallen onto one of your parents or a significant other or a child. Just help someone out that you know. Next, you could volunteer. So volunteerism rates, they generally go down around holiday weekends. So you could donate time and effort to a nonprofit, a community kitchen, or a place that helps people experiencing homelessness. You could donate time and effort to an animal rescue. You could donate time and effort to an environmental nonprofit that helps clean up and maintain wilderness areas or parks around your house. You don't even have to do this organized. You could just be like, you know what? I'll give you an example of me. I live right out near the open desert. And because Vegas is very windy, there's often a lot of stuff that gets blown out there. I could just go hike around and pick stuff up for a while. That would be a good thing to do. Next, you could donate money to a good cause. If you need some good nonprofits to donate to, I have linked out to two that I love. The first is Goodwill, and the second is the Humane League. So, in closing, have fun, don't die, and find your MRF. Michael, as a reminder, we are brought to you by Momentous Nutrition, the company that made me feel good about supplements again. Speaking of the military, they are one of the very few supplement companies that has contracts with the military because they put such rigorous testing and research into their product. Easter gets you 15% off. Next, we are sponsored by Maui Nui Venison, the harvester of the world's healthiest meat. It's got 53% more protein per calorie than beef, also a lot more micronutrients. My picks are the 90-10 Oregon Blend. It's awesome if you want more micronutrients in your diet. And also the jerky sticks. Those are my travel snack, my go-to. Discount code Easter gets you 20% off. And then finally, GoRuck, maker of the world's finest gear, not stuff. If you're looking for a weight vest to wear as you do MRF, GoRuck has some really, really good ones. You can get the 10 pounds in the front, 10 in the back, or you can get like 5 in the front, 5 in the back, whatever size you want. Really good weight vest from GoRuck. Easter gets you 10% off. Thanks for listening.